Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and tonight at sundown begins Thanksgivica, the very rare confluence of Hanukkah and Thanksgiving. And even if it sometimes coincides with Thanksgiving weekend, this is the extremely rare first night of Hanukkah tonight that actually precedes Thanksgiving. This is all just one of the anomalies that can take place around Hanukkah in America in particular. And in her new book, Hanukkah in America, A History, Rowan University Professor of Religious Studies Diane Ashton explains that the Winter Festival of Light and the story of the Maccabees took root in the U.S., and America's role has been real in shaping the holiday into what it is today. So, Diane Ashton, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
And the first thing that many people assume is that Hanukkah has gotten elevated in the United States from its actual religious importance historically to compete with Christmas. How true is that?
It's partially true. Certainly parents and rabbis have been encouraging the giving of gifts to children at Hanukkah in order for them to not feel totally left out from all the gift-giving that the Christian children get at Christmas.
Do they think that when their Jewish children turn 16 or 18, they're going to say, you know, I'm so alienated by not getting gifts at Christmas. I'm converting. I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior.
No, I think it was a little more subtle than that. They wanted Jewish children to have happy memories of being Jewish, and particularly because Hanukkah is a domestic celebration. People viewed Hanukkah as an occasion to instill a love of Jewish home life in children, and gifts were part of that.
I see that it was the last holiday to be added to the Jewish calendar, other than very modern holidays like Holocaust Remembrance Day. Mm-hmm. When and why was Hanukkah invented?
Hanukkah became a holiday, as we know it today, with the early rabbis who put together the Talmud. And it's in Talmud that we get the instructions for lighting the menorah, what blessings to be said, that it should be done in increasing lights, one each day, and then increasing to eight lights. All of that is in the Talmud. The story of the Maccabees and the story of Hanukkah really doesn't appear in the Bible at all, but we do have it in Talmud.
In fact, the story of the Maccabees doesn't appear in the Jewish Bible, but it does appear in the New Testament, right?
Well, it's in the Christian Bible because it's part of a collection of writings that are called the Apocrypha together. It's not in the New Testament. It's not about Jesus or the writings of Paul or any of the people who are writing about Christian ideas. It's in a kind of other realm of books that were written by Jews that didn't make it into the Hebrew Bible, but were considered important enough by Christians that they were included in the larger collection of the Bible canon.
So, listeners, this is about Hanukkah in America, and I wonder if any of you have American Hanukkah traditions that you want to call in about. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. The book goes through some from different parts of the United States. We'll mention a few of them. But how about for you and your family from the New York area or wherever? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show for Diane Ashton, author of Hanukkah in America, A History. One story that's a New York story is about the significance of Mayor Lindsay lighting a huge menorah at City Hall near a Christmas tree in 1968. Tell us about that.
Lindsay needed the Jewish vote, and so he was very sensitive to making sure that he did symbolic things that his Jewish constituents would appreciate. You know, New York City is almost like a whole United Nations, and so the mayor of New York has to be very sensitive to the sensibilities of different ethnic groups, and Lindsay knew that he needed Jews for his reelection. So when he did this menorah lighting in City Hall, it was a very tall, exceptionally tall menorah, and it was placed near a Christmas tree, giving it almost equal status, and this was a great public event.
Many New York Jews have Christmas traditions, too, whether they're intermarried or you know the stats on American Jews who just have a Christmas tree, amazing as that seems, to other American Jews. And I wonder if you would say historically there's either been any tension or symbiosis between the two winter holidays.
There has been both tension and symbiosis between the two winter holidays. In the 19th century, when we had many Jews who came here from Germany, they did put up Christmas trees because it's a German custom, first and foremost. And they were roundly disapproved of, and eventually that fell out of favor, particularly when so many Jews from Eastern Europe came to America who really had no interest in Christmas trees. But in recent years, when there have been a lot of intermarriages and people come into marriages with different religious traditions and try to create a household that respects both traditions, and then we're seeing Christmas trees emerging in households that otherwise practice Judaism. But I really wonder, how are those trees decorated? In what sense are they like or unlike other Christmas trees? And what does a Christmas tree really mean in a household that otherwise practices Judaism? It's very interesting.
Michael in Bushwick, you're on WNYC. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Brian. I guess I'm calling, my story is my dad is Israeli, and my mom is American, and when he moved here after they got married, he didn't really get the whole gift-giving thing. They don't do that over there. And my childhood memories of gift-receiving on Hanukkah surround staplers and glue sticks and nail clippers and small little gifts like that that generally didn't really appeal to most of my friends or to myself, really, as a little kid, but...
And so you grew up and converted to Islam.
Yes, exactly.
Michael, thank you. And it is supposed to be little gifts, Diane, right? Eight little gifts, one each night. Not that every family sticks to that. You know, it's probably becoming more of the Christmas style where there's relatively a lot of gifts, or the biggest gifts of the year get given for Hanukkah. But where did that little eight little gifts come from? Because he says his father, who's Israeli, had no tradition of gift giving at all.
Really, gift giving is very much an American invention, because holidays are big business in the United States, and the ethnic economy was something that Jews joined in and promoted among themselves. So rabbis and Jewish merchants and Jewish parents urged each other to give gifts to children at Hanukkah. And rabbis would often say, make them elaborate. Have everybody get something spectacular for Hanukkah. You want the kids to really love Hanukkah. And so there was really no disparagement about the amount or size of gifts. However, Jewish parents themselves often resisted that and put a brake on the complexity of the gifts, the glamour of the gifts, and even the number of the gifts.
Ellen in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ellen.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I am calling because I remember in the 90s I worked in a building in the 40s on Park Avenue, and on one of the buildings, I think it was the Lever House, but I do not know, they had Hanukkah windows. And in the first window, the rabbi elf read the Torah with the little boy elf. In the middle window, the mama elf lit the candles with the little girl elf, while the baby elf played on the floor with his dreidel. And in the last window, the little Maccabee elf stabbed the little Greek elf to death with his spear.
No, you're kidding.
No. It was a couple of Hanukkahs that I remember, and I was just like, I brought all my friends to see it because I thought it was funny. It was not, it was on, you know, like in the high 40s. I don't know because it was so long ago.
Somewhere, now, wait a minute. Marcia in Washington Heights is calling in, and she may remember something like this. Marcia?
Yes?
Is this ringing a bell, what Ellen's describing?
No bell at all.
Oh, but you had some other kind of memory that somehow is related, right?
Oh, related to Hanukkah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Hanukkah tradition. I grew up in the 1950s in the Bronx, and, you know, the Hanukkah menorah is always placed in the window. so that you could see the Hanukkah lights in a village or in the borough. But what my family did, and I loved as a kid, was that we would cut out a big menorah out of aluminum foil and tape it on the window. And each night we would, with construction paper, make the Shamus candle, the main candle, and then add a candle each night for Hanukkah. And right. it was so exciting to us.
And that was in the window, so a little different window than seeing the reenactment of a Jewish person killing a Greek person, as from the Maccabee story. So Ellen and Marcia, thank you for your memories, and thank you for your calls. And I wonder, Diane Ashton, if many American Jews even realize that Hanukkah is a war holiday. It's not a peace or a personal reflection or atonement kind of holiday. It celebrates military strength, right?
Yes and no. What the rabbis did when they instituted Hanukkah as a ritual, as a holiday, as a minor festival, and gave us the instructions for what to do on Hanukkah, they said this commemorates the miracle of the oil. And what it tells us is that God enabled the victory, and that it was God rescuing Jews from a condition when they would have been forced to abandon Judaism because the Assyrian king was really trying to wipe out Judaism. So Hanukkah, as it's been celebrated for the last 2,000 years, is really supposed to be celebrating a miracle of divine rescue.
Or as a Jewish comedian I know, known as my uncle, once told me, all the Jewish holidays have the same story. They tried to kill us. They failed. Let's eat.
Right. This is one of those.
Eric from the Jewish Daily Forward newspaper is calling in with something to add. Eric Schulmiller. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for listening. And it's nice to be on with Professor Ashton, too. Well, I think Yom Kippur might be the exception to that model.
Indeed.
But otherwise, it works pretty well. Just very briefly, I also have a Hanukkah window memory. Growing up in Fairfield County, there weren't a lot of Jews in our neighborhood. So when we would go visit my grandmother in Brooklyn, and I would see in her apartment building, practically every window had a Hanukkah menorah in it. It was like the equivalent of going outside of the city where all the light pollution is and then seeing the stars for the first time. It was really awe-inspiring as a kid to see that many Jews in one place. But the thing that I focused on is I wrote an article for The Forward about the intersection of Thanksgiving and Hanukkah, the so-called Thanksgivica. And I was inspired to write it based on, I work at a Reconstructionist synagogue, and the Reconstructionist Jewish philosophy is that Jews have always lived in two civilizations. So for me, doing a little research into how these quintessential holidays overlapped provided some interesting information. So the first of all is it's not as rare as actually you would think. The first reason is because before Abraham Lincoln canonized when Thanksgiving fell, it was as irregular as the Jewish calendar in terms of when Hanukkah fell.
Mm-hmm.
So there were actually two times during the Colonial War when Hanukkah overlapped with Thanksgiving, because back then it was in December. So you actually had it in 1779 and then again a couple years later. And there was an interesting overlap there because it was soon after the surrender of Cornwallis in 1781. So it was sort of like a dual celebration of this little band of rebels over an imperial force. I think that the Jews of the time probably would have picked up on that double resonance.
That's really interesting. So, and in contemporary times, the reason it's so rare for the overlap, and the reason it can happen now is that Thanksgiving is the fourth Thursday in November. This is the latest that it can be. Tomorrow is the 28th, so that means that's the absolute latest that the fourth Thursday in Thanksgiving can be, fourth Thursday in November can be. So when Hanukkah drifts early, it doesn't necessarily overlap with Thanksgiving unless it comes in a package like this with the fourth Thursday falling on the 28th.
Well, what's so interesting is that you had a period of time when FDR instituted the so-called Franksgiving, where he tried to push Thanksgiving back a little bit when there was five Thursdays in the month. So actually, when that happened, it actually avoided what could have been an overlap a few times in the middle of this last century, except for if you were a Jew in Texas, which continued to observe the the traditional date for Thanksgiving. You could have had a Thanksgivica right after World War II and again in 1956. So if you're a Texan Jew, you probably remember a few Thanksgivicas from the middle of the 20th century.
Eric Schulmiller from the Jewish Daily Forward with everything you always wanted to know about Thanksgivica. Thank you for calling in.
Thanks, Brian.
And actually, you mentioned Texas in your book, Diane Ashton, I see, when you're writing about local customs mm-hmm. around the country, how Texans sometimes make their latkes with cilantro and cayenne pepper, for example?
Yes, the men's club at one of the synagogues in Fort Worth, Texas, does Hanukkah latke cook-off. And they sell latkes to raise money for the synagogue. And this year, I'm told, they're doing a whole latke dinner for Hanukkah, but people can order their latkes either in the traditional recipe, which is basically potatoes and onions, or with Southwest flavoring. And so that's pretty unique.
And there's something from New Orleans that's another tradition?
Yes. In the 1960s, early 60s, women who were members of both the Garden Club of New Orleans and the Women's League for Conservative Judaism would decorate the front doors of their homes. And I have a picture of one of these in the book, and it's remarkable because they would cover the entire front door with either brown paper or wrapping paper and then create some kind of Jewish symbol on the door, a Torah, a menorah, a scene of Moses receiving the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. And these would be done by gluing really humble items onto that brown paper or wrapping paper, like, you know, beans or dry macaroni or Mardi Gras beads. But the interesting thing to me about it is that next to the door, they would put a sign explaining the symbols. So I thought this was a really marvelous way that these Jewish families would be communicating about Judaism to their neighbors who wouldn't know anything about it.
One more. Catherine in Massapequa, you're doing a Puerto Rican Hanukkah?
Yeah, I'm Greek and Jewish, but my husband's parents were born in Puerto Rico, and they use yuca, which some people call yucca, for many things. So I love it and have done various things with it, and I'm making latkes out of it. And we have a cranberry apple relish with candied ginger that I'm going to serve on the side.
The yuca latke recipe.
Yuca latke, my invention.
Catherine and
Mazza,
that's great. Thank you very much. And there we leave it with Diane Ashton, professor of religious studies and former director of the American Studies Program at Rowan University. Her new book is Hanukkah in America, A History. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.